You can literally just scan space freely, or let your mind be drawn to an extraterrestrial craft. Be careful not to just imagine it, let it actually unfold and come into your vision, where you actually perceive it. Fourth, once you see an ET or an ET ship, connect to the extraterrestrial being, by reconnecting to your own inner awakeness, and see in the inner awakeness shining from their eyes. And in that state of oneness, invite them to be with you here, in whatever way that is safe and appropriate. An advanced version is also to connect to the Interplanetary Center or Council, to check and get permission and say, please allow them to come or bring them here, or be with them. Fifth, you then guide them to your precise location. Show them. It is almost like you're zooming in from space, and you show them visually your exact location, connecting to their mind or to their guidance system or both, because their technologies are connected to their consciousness. Remember, that's how they are traveling through space. That is how their guidance systems work and how they fly the craft. It is all with mind connecting. Their mind, body and the craft are all perfectly integrated. The spaceship itself is a bio machine that is awakened, has conscious intelligence associated with it. You can sit in a small group and use this protocol for an hour or two. It is very powerful when a group of people practice this together. Once when an etheric ET was at one of these expeditions, we offered a crystal to this being. As I extended my hand to give this beautiful crystal to the ET, we all looked at my hand, and it morphed in front of us and changed. It elongated, and then had only three fingers, and looked just like the ET's hand. All of us saw that. It was like his hand and my hand became one. All of us saw my hand completely change. So the way that these ETs can appear is really amazing. And it can be shocking because it seems so bizarre. It would be hard to even create a science fiction movie that would contain as much high strangeness as we have actually seen and experienced on these expeditions. As we gather here under the stars, remember this wonderful time together, and see that we are always connected in this state of oneness, and that we're going to work together to make it through this time into the time that we have seen. The entire cosmos is your home. And this is not an intellectual realization alone. It is experienced. And all those worlds that we were traveling through, and all those inner states, to each and every one of them you will no doubt attain. Our individualities are windows through which infinity is expressing itself. At some point, we learn at will to take this drop and let it go back into the ocean, and then, at will, reconstitute the drop and be individual again. This is what we learn to do through the course of our spiritual journey. Be as nothing, and then walk upon the water. So the drop of our individuality can become one with the ocean, and then we are the ocean. At the same instant we can realize that we are still that individual drop, in a state of unity consciousness. We can perceive this not only within ourselves, but we see that all things and all beings and the earth beneath our feet is all awake, infinite being. We realize it is all sacred. The entirety of creation is sacred and every being is sacred, because spirit, the awake being, is the very fabric of all that there is. And it is always perfectly one, even if it's playing and displaying upon itself as if it is different. The challenge is to see the oneness within the difference, and also enjoy the difference. We have been in places all over the world that have just the most horrible weather, and we will sit and do this meditation and prayer, and within minutes, the whole sky will clear. It is an opening that happens above this state of consciousness. And this has happened hundreds of times, almost inexplicably, no matter how bad or stormy the weather. The question is there interplay between oneness and duality? They coexist. They are not mutually exclusive. In other words, the relative and the changing, time and space and matter and the infinite silent absolute are the same. There's no separation, and therefore there's no duality. Now, that which is relative has differentiation. We have individual bodies. There is male and there is female, there are different energies, there are different elements. But at the same time, there is this perfect divine unity and awake, consciousness that co-exists with it, suffuses all of it, and permeates all of it. There is a balance in being able to see the differentiation and the duality of things, and at the same time see the oneness that is permeating all the duality. So it isn't an either, or question. Everything is established and emanating from unbounded, absolute, undifferentiated, pure mind. But it is perceived as one or the other. Our task is to evolve to a point where we see it not as either, or, but all as one, even while we see the distinctions. Even experiments that have been done with mechanical systems or devices, such as those done by Dr. Robert John of Princeton, show that mind is connected to matter. How does that happen? It is because the material object itself is mind, is awakeness, phasing, resonating as that thing. It takes practice, but the perception of oneness begins to come back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until you see that there is no back and forth. It is all one. The drop and the ocean are one, even when the drop can be distinguished. It is useful sometimes to simply look and sit quietly and be with other people, and then become aware of the fact that they're awake and you're awake. Now, subtract all the differences and be left with the awakeness itself, and go into that state of being awake within yourself, and then see that you are freed from self and individuality so that you can connect to the awakeness of others, and be one. And in this sense, we are all one being. We are truly all one in spirit, and therefore we can relate to and find within ourselves genuine compassion. Expanding that idea, consider the fact that every person on earth, every sentient being in the cosmos, whether angelic or astral or deceased humans, or extraterrestrial people with bodies and material existences on other planets, all of those awake beings are capable of being aware of awareness, and therefore can enter into a state of oneness, intentional oneness that is transcendental and perfect. Now, that state is beyond the peace of a political peace, which has been called at times, the lesser peace. What I am describing now is the most great peace, the perfect peace that is inner and spiritual. Because in that state you see indeed that we are all one in spirit. Thus, any source of conflict ceases to exist, because instead of being centered in difference, people will be centered in oneness, and not just as an intellectualization or philosophical perspective, but a genuine experience in enlightenment, and that is an enlightened state of being. Oh, my God, it is beautiful. All that you need has been given to you. It is all within you. All I am doing is trying to unfold an understanding and then you can do it yourself. At the same time there is oneness, there is relativity. We are sitting here. We do have distinct bodies. There is space and time and stars and distance. Those coexist. They are not mutually exclusive concepts at all. In fact, they are perfectly integrated. And so, understanding the nuance between the absolute and the relative is really important, because that is the journey our souls are traversing. And becoming proficient in that understanding and experience enables you to manifest from this state of infinite awareness into this existence. Without the fundamental experience and understanding of silent infinite awareness and how that absolute unboundedness becomes manifest into the relative, you cannot reach your fulfillment as a being. Wherever there is form within it is astral light. And there is the pure idea form and awareness, that is the causal, the level of the cosmology that is in that idea seed, form. The infinite awareness manifests this seed idea. It's the idea form and thought vibration of, let's say, an apple, without the form and shape of an apple. Can you consider an apple without its form, just its thought essence? It is rather abstract, I agree. But then from that idea thought vibration, see emerging the light and form and shape and color of an apple. See that astral template becoming more and more differentiated and more manifest, emerging into the subtle sub, electro, magnetic energies, zero-point energies, magnetic forces and other forces that then recruit and form the atoms and the molecules etc. of the apple. This process, this divine architecture, exists with everything, whether it be a galaxy or a star or a person. And this is how conscious mind creates the thought, causative level of an object, and then manifests the astral and then manifests the physical object. What is essential is pure consciousness. Through deep silent, non-local mind, we can connect to an object and dematerialize it or rematerialize or move it across points in space and time. This is how certain yogi adepts have been able to take an object and make it dematerialize and rematerialize like a teleportation device. You can connect to any object through awareness, and if you understand how awareness and mind, stuff becomes matter, you can affect that object. There is no separation whatsoever except the intellectual constructs that we have made. We build our own cages and only we can open them. And so we have to unlearn those habituated intellectualizations, and quietly experience the unitive state, the state of oneness. And empowered with the subtle operation of will and an active faith, this will be, almost anything is possible. Do you see what I'm saying? This will be. This is and it will be. Without any doubt of it whatsoever. Our lives have been created this way. The fact that we are still connected to our bodies is because of this. Think about it. You build a house. You had an idea of it that emanated from your conscious mind, and then you saw it and then you drew it, and then you built it. This is the creative process and the creator, the divine being, has created the entire cosmos this way. And within us is folded the same ability. This is why it has often been said, he who has known his true self has verily known God. The question is, are there different gradations within the astral realm? And the answer is absolutely yes, just like there are different gradations within the material. You can be in the sewers of Manhattan or you can be in a beautiful garden. We choose. Within the worlds of light, there are lesser and greater worlds, and there are different stations, and different levels. And when someone passes out of this world, and is in their astral body, remember that like seeketh like and taketh pleasure in the company of its kind. That means that those of a certain level of consciousness and proclivity will gravitate to those of like mind. And they may not necessarily be pleased with their company. Do you see? When people speak of hell, it is a state of mind on the other side. It is because of your own state of mind that you are with people who are a lot like you. Those worlds are created through thought forms, and if those beings or people are thinking terrible things, they are creating terrible manifestations around them. You can sit and visualize a rose garden or a torture chamber. Do you see? That is the reality of that. Now, there are finer and finer levels of the astral that create the fine celestial realm, and the really high angelic realm. This refinement in mind, thought and energy continues until you get to the level of the station of the avatar, the station of the Godhead, the creator state. There are countless degrees of refinement, without cessation, and that is just the astral. Beyond that, there is the so-called idea, causal, the essence of what relative existence is. At a certain level, you may evolve to where you don't even need to be in the astral body form, and you are in this point of thought slash consciousness. It is very expansive, beautiful, and divine. For example, when I had my near-death experience, I didn't have a body shape. I was in this point of pure conscious light that was individuality and awake, it was causal. I went straight to causal and then went into infinite mind. The emotional texture of the astral worlds is very full and the light and the color are very beautiful, celestial. But the existence that is beyond that, the causative state, is a finer frequency. It is more essential, less differentiated and directly connected to the pureness of mind and spirit. The question is, where does reincarnation come into this cosmology? This is an often asked question. The truth will set you free. But first it will piss you off apostrophe. So now I am going to piss off everybody. The fact is this. The mass retail teachings of reincarnation are no more true than the mass retail teaching of other orthodoxies. The truth about reincarnation is that it is true and it is absolutely false. Remember what we just experienced. Every individuality is a unique creation. And once it is in creation, it exists forever as a unique thing. That individuality is here, and it will continue forever. And yet the awake mind within each of us is the same mind that is within all of us. Every individual, by connecting to this non-local aspect of awareness, can experience the individual life of any individual now on Earth or who has ever been on Earth or who will ever be on Earth or who has ever been in existence anywhere in the universe. The description of reincarnation is therefore a misnomer. In reality, it is the realization of the oneness between individuality and infinity. That aspect of each of us that is the infinite self, is also experiencing each of us. Thus, an individual's awareness can connect to this expanded non-local awareness and then experience the life of another. Because in reality, we are always all one being. Now, I have met probably 5 people who swear to God they were Cleopatra. And in a sense they were. Because the awakeness within us is universal. In this way, an archetype person, or someone who has had an important impact as an icon within society or history like Cleopatra can be experienced by certain other related souls in her fullness. But does one die and kind of dissolve into nothingness and then reincarnate as Joe Cohen in Brooklyn, New York in the year 2030? No. What is understood about reincarnation is completely false. And yet within it is a profound truth that doesn't get taught because it's more abstract and non-local and higher ordered in complexity. It is possible that people with individual souls will resonate with beings of a similar nature, or overarching resonant frequency. It isn't as if one ends life in this body, dissolves into some nothingness of the matrix of awareness, and then becomes another being or person. That isn't it at all. It is something much more profound. And the profound truth is we are all beings at all times. And if we choose to, we can experience an individual being and life in the past, in the now, or in the future in its complete fullness. Do you know who you are? Do you know that the entire universe is folded within you, and therefore the awake mind within you is omnipresent and that it transcends space and time? And you can resonate with and experience in its complete fullness, all the soul experience of any being, with complete compassion? Within ourselves is an infinite and eternal conscious being. So if you understand the nature of mind and consciousness within ourselves, it is very understandable how we may go to sleep at night and within that relaxed state, break the bonds of space and time and see what will happen next week. Or see what happened 1,000 years ago or even experience fully the life of someone who lived 1,000,000 years ago. We are coming into the maturity of the human race and need to have a more profound understanding of these things, so we don't fall into superstition and silliness, where people have to do certain rituals so they don't come back as an ant. Of course, if you want to experience what it is like to be an oak tree or an ant or a dog, you can. You do not have to wait for another life. When I swim with the dolphins, the reason they accept me is that they see me as one of them. They literally experience me as a dolphin. I become a dolphin. When you drop the body and go to the next level, you will have all your memories, you will remember everyone you were with on Earth, you will evolve as this individuality through all the worlds of creation and through all the states of consciousness. At some point, if you wish, you will be the drop returning to the ocean. Remember, from the infinite ocean of God have we emerged, and to that infinite ocean we will all return. And this is the purpose and journey of our soul. The experience of being an individual is to learn the bliss of becoming nothing and becoming infinite again, and yet to be able to enjoy the existence and the fullness of creation. The eternity of the plane of the absolute, the awake cosmic mind, has as its expressed corollary, an infinite eternal creation. So even in terms of space, as we think of it materially, there is no end to it. It's infinite. Because even if you got to the edge of what we think would be the universe by definition, then what's beyond that edge? It is infinite. As a young child, I used to contemplate these things all the time. I would walk around thinking of these things and looking at the stars and sensing that, feeling that, seeing that. Even when I saw the cosmic egg, the celestial form of creation, as a discrete shape and form, it was also eternal and infinite. It is a paradox. If you're looking at the night sky with celestial vision, you will see an enormous amount of light. Everything is paradoxical, and perfectly so. With astral, celestial perception, we directly see that even the depths of empty, dark space is illumined with a light glowing from within. Can you see it? We can see the discrete planets and stars, spinning in an infinite ocean of celestial light. So it's light upon light, worlds of light all radiating from within, just as the light of a star is actually coming from within. The question is, do all possible realities exist concurrently or on a parallel basis, and is the communication between them? The answer to this is wholly dependent on the state of awareness of the perceiver. In other words, the answer is yes. From the perspective of a highly integrated quantum holographic view of the universe, where everything is folded within each other. And just like a hologram, you can take one part of the universe and the entirety of the universe is present. Nothing is ever separate, divine unity permeates all things. So all the possible realities of the universe are going on simultaneously, and the connection is via this non-local mind stuff, the conscious intelligent integrating aspect of all things. Conscious intelligence is the ultimate integrator of these various realms. On one level of intellectual understanding, we may speak of various dimensions or parallel universes, but in reality, they are all folded within each other. Looking with the eye of oneness, we see this perfect integration via the non-locality of mind. At another level of perception, you could say that there is no connection at all. For example, you could certainly say there is no connection between us sitting here right now in Virginia and someone sitting in India. Since we're not touching them and they are not hearing us, you could say that's correct. On another level, you could say, well, we are all in the biosphere of Earth. So we are touching the Earth, and we're breathing the same air, and we are connected. These are all intellectual constructs, as opposed to how they are actually operating. The way they're actually operating is that the finer resonance fields eventually give rise to the coarser ones, and there is a seamless connection between them. There is a non-local connection and resonance that takes place through conscious intelligence. When something is teleported and goes from point A to point B in space, it is possible because there is perfect integration between any point in space or any two points, or any infinite number of points in space. Due to the non-local integration of energy, matter, space, time and dimensions via mind stuff, every point in space and time has access to every other point in space and time. And the finer aspects of the cosmos, the astral, thought, causal, etc., are increasingly non-local. So there is relative non-locality. Everyone thinks of non-locality as being either non-local or local. It is either fixed and linear, or it is non-local. In reality, there is relativity within non-locality. The architecture of the cosmos is exquisitely beautiful, at once complex and yet simple, once a few principles are realized. To go from point A to B by dematerializing something and having it reappear at another point in space, you are accessing relative non-locality. The material object is being altered so that its spin and frequency are actually shifting into something approximating what the mystics would call astral or etheric energy. And because that realm is less fixed and linear than linear material space, time, the object can appear there virtually instantaneously. This is accomplished through non-local nodal resonance, where point A and point B in space are accessed through resonance and spin via a level of the universe that is more non-local than fixed time, space. Thus, the more you cross over into fields of resonance and frequency that are beyond the speed of light, this crossing point of light, you access realms that are closer and closer to the so-called etheric or astral fields of energy, which are increasingly non-local. Now, the most perfect non-locality is pure undifferentiated mind. And the least non-local is the fixed material space, time matter universe, but they are all integrated and they are always one, and therefore if you move a material object and alter its state electronically, It can be in an increasingly non-local form. Thus, it can be teleported from one point in space to another. It is possible to do this at the level of causation, the point of thought slash sound slash vibration, and that is even faster than etheric teleportation. So there is relative speed and relative non-locality, depending on how much finer you are going to take any given object and put it into either the etheric, astral, or causal state that is folded within that object. An extraterrestrial vehicle, for example, or a man-made craft that actually goes faster than the speed of light, does not speed up like you go down the highway from 50 miles an hour to 60 to 70. It shifts in a quantum leap, a quantum jump, from a resonance field in what we call stable space, time matter material form, to a frequency and resonance beyond that, in one resonance jump. At that point, the spacecraft can move outside of linear vectors of space and go from one point in space to another, almost instantaneously, and certainly faster than the speed of light. But it is still not at infinite velocity. So to go from Earth to, say, many thousands of light years from here, may actually take a few days, because you're in a form that is relatively non-local, but not perfectly non-local, such as pure consciousness. Now, a civilization that would be able to reduce the craft and every thing in it to a frequency form that would be purely causal, or on a very refined astral frequency, would be able to make that same journey in a much shorter time interval. A pure thought form connected to mind can go from one point in the universe to the other truly instantaneously, no matter how many light years. It is connected very intimately to that perfect non-locality of infinite awareness. And so there is relativity within non-locality. We can also experience this non-technologically, in the lucid dream. In the lucid dream, we are moving, flying non-locally in our spirit or astral body, which is as real, or more so, than our physical bodies. That is why you can easily slip off the linear space, time coordinate and be at another point on the Earth, even while you are in bed sleeping. In that state you can see what is going on in real time somewhere else on Earth or in space, or slip off the time coordinate into the future, and see something that is going to happen tomorrow, or a year from now. This is called a pre-cognitive lucid dream. So pre-cognition, or seeing something that happened in the past, or seeing remotely something happening right now, is possible because consciousness is omnipresent and we can learn to experience a finer and more subtle level of mind, while still being in our body and individual consciousness. In a similar way, technological communication by an advanced extra-terrestrial civilization involves this paradigm. They have communication devices that interface with thought, and can go from a point here to a point in space a million light years from here, instantaneously. Such a technological device is interfacing with the pure thought itself, dropping out of the normal electromagnetic realm into a sub-electromagnetic or finer energy realm. But when an entire huge spacecraft is moving through the cosmos, there is what I call a coefficient of drag from the spacecraft as it is adhering to the underbelly of the material linear space, time universe. As it skips on the underside of linear space, time, in the gap between finer astral and material frequencies, there is some drag, preventing instantaneous transport. It has to maintain a certain amount of connectivity to the material universe in order to re-emerge into it. Hence velocity is not infinite. Over short distances, such transfer through space, time would appear instantaneous, but over vast cosmic distances, there is a time and space domain involved. There are some very advanced extraterrestrial technologies that actually do not require this, and those are truly celestial ships. They can reside and be in a very fine celestial form, and then emerge through various levels of astral energy and then fully materialize. Not all extraterrestrial civilization are at the same level of integrating this cosmology into operational technologies. You know, a nickname for one of the areas out at Area 51 is Dreamland. The reason it is called Dreamland is because when they started doing experiments moving faster than the speed of light, and you are actually on a craft, and in that form for any length of time, it is like a lucid dream.